Hi, folks, and welcome once again. I'm Pastor Tim with Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas. We are back with our Wednesday midweek Bible study. So excited with our 2021 edition. Thanks for joining us today. And if this is your first time, welcome. We're glad you're with us. We're here each Wednesday and also on Sunday mornings. If you're not able to join us in person, there'll be a sermon video right here anytime that you want to see it on Sunday mornings. As I said, we've got a brand new series that we're starting. It's called Developing My Spiritual Life. I am super excited about this study, and especially at this particular time. As we slowly begin to emerge from this pandemic, I can't think of a better time to talk about our respective spiritual lives and how we can better develop them. Now, over the next 13 weeks, we're going to talk about how we can take our spiritual lives to another level and trying to answer some basic questions that people have about spiritual growth and maturity along the way. We're going to be exploring various topics such as listening to God, connecting to a spiritual community, worshiping God, giving to God, how to study God's word, resisting temptation, and much, much more. So you definitely don't want to miss out on any of these. But if you do and you're not able to join us on any particular week, you can always check out our video library here on this social media platform or our website, and you can catch up on any of the episodes that you missed. Now, the first component of our spiritual life that we're going to be discussing is talking to God. And we're going to be looking at the scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. Got a lot to tell you today, but before we get started, as always, let's begin with prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the great privilege you give us, especially in this brand new year as we start out. We want to start out well. And what better way than studying your word? What better way than talking about how to improve our spiritual life? So, Lord, teach us today about how to talk to you and why that's important. Lord, I thank you for all that are watching. Bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Well, all right. Are you ready to go? Well, get your Bibles out. Turn to Matthew 5, because here we go. But I've got an opening question for you. What is an experience that you've had that is so unique, it's almost guaranteed that nobody else has had that same experience? What would that be? I'm sure you've probably got some really great answers out there. I was thinking about a couple of things. Maybe you were thinking about an unusual vacation that you had. Maybe it was a bizarre injury, perhaps a special award that you got. Maybe it was meeting somebody famous. Was it a unique adventure? Or maybe an outstanding achievement of some kind? What was it that you've experienced, a special occurrence that you're pretty sure nobody else has ever experienced? Well, there's several things I could share as I got to thinking about this, but the one that stands out most in my mind is the time that I had the incredible honor and privilege of meeting Pope John Paul II at the Vatican in Italy. It was such an amazing and humbling moment to have met one of the most powerful world leaders at the time. Had a few minutes actually to chat. It was incredible. But just to be in the presence of someone that you see in the news and you know is such a prolific world figure, that was pretty special. Just as we've all had unique life experiences, each of us has had unique spiritual experiences as well. Today we're going to explore some general principles about talking to God. And how do we do that? We talk to God through prayer. So to continue on our journey, let's get to reading the Word. Open up those Bibles or Bible apps to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. This is what the Word of the Lord says. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Amen and amen. Let's talk for a minute about genuine prayer. Talking to God, that phrase, it sounds simple, doesn't it? But if it's so simple, why do so many people struggle with this? There are so many that are dissatisfied with their prayer life. They're dissatisfied. They feel ineffective. They feel that their prayer life is really unfulfilled. When you hear accounts of spiritual giants of the past or present spending hours on their knees in prayer, frankly, it leaves a lot of us feeling a bit intimidated instead of being inspired by their example. Our own conversations with God are often sporadic at best, short in duration, and feel a little less than powerful. One of the most common but least effective motivators to pray is the word should. I should pray. I should pray more. I should pray more consistently. I should pray more fervently. I should. You see, the problem with the I shoulds is that they have no staying power. The motivation isn't lasting because, frankly, our heart's not in it. Genuine prayer is sustained when the believer is convinced of its value and feels the power in its practice. Now, in our journey today, we're going to seek to answer three questions concerning effective prayer, which are this. Number one, why should I talk to God? Number two, what should I talk to God about? And number three, how should I talk to God? Now, the biblical answers to those questions are going to confirm the value and the power of prayer and are going to provide guidance leading to greater confidence in prayer, something we all could use. And that's really important to all of us, especially in this time. So let's take a minute and identify with the story in the scripture we just read. Here's a question. If you could have a conversation with a well-known person, who would it be with? Think about that. Would it be like the president? Would you like to have a conversation with a politician or maybe an actor? How about an author or maybe a musician? Or maybe there's someone else you'd really like to have a conversation with, someone who is very well known. You know, many times through the years, we've said, I wish I could talk to that person. Sometimes we're angry when he said it. Sometimes we're not. But it's interesting because we often say that, boy, if I just had the chance to talk to that person, I'd give him a piece of my mind, or I'd like to just listen to what they have to say. How many times have we said, boy, I can't wait to see God, to ask him why this, why that? You know what I mean? Now, your answer can be, as I said, clearly someone who is living or from the past. I can't really think of anybody that I'd like to have a conversation with who's living that's really well known. It sounds bad, I know, but I just don't have one. But I definitely look forward to having a conversation with Jesus one day, and of course, various other Bible characters as well. Question for you. How did you feel about talking to your earthly father about problems when you were growing up? Was it something that was easy for you? Or was it nearly impossible? Or was there some in between there? For me, talking to my dad about material things like yard work, building something, repairing something, anything along those lines, he was really easy to talk to. He loved talking about things like that. But when it came to talking about feelings or things that I was sensing inside, my spiritual stuff, or just where I was as a young boy, as a teenager, as a young adult, it's either my dad didn't know how to talk about stuff like that, or he just didn't want to. I don't know, but it was almost impossible to have a conversation about feelings and emotions and things like that. Question, where is your favorite quiet place to meet with God? I'll bet you've got some great answers. For me, it's this office right here where I'm making this video for you. This is where I have all my resources, my laptop. This is the quietest place in our home, and I just close the door, and that's where I can meet with God, and it's really, really quiet in here. I hope you have the same. So, remember those three questions that I told you about a minute ago? It's time we get to answering them, because we're going to talk about effective prayer. We need to answer these questions. And that first question is, why should I talk to God? Great question, right? Genuine prayer gets God's attention, whereas prayer for show, it only gains man's attention. It only gains man's affirmation. Sincere prayer finds an audience with a God who is present and responds. It's simple but profound. God answers prayer. Can you say that with me? God answers prayer. Here's a question. What are some solid biblical reasons you should talk to God? Well, before you answer that, I got a hint for you. Don't tell anybody, but it's our scripture today. Matthew chapter 6. Take a look at those verses once again, because there you're going to find your answer. Some solid biblical reasons why you should talk to God. Well, first of all, God is. He just is. He's really there. Look at verse 6. It says, pray to your Father, then your Father who sees everything, meaning he's there. Secondly, look at verses 6 through 8. God sees and he hears. And thirdly, God responds to prayer. Again, in verse 6, it says, then your Father will reward you. You remember Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, the story in John 4:10? He's having a conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus says, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. There's a direct correlation between not knowing Jesus well and not asking him for much. A failure in our prayer life is generally a failure to know Jesus. And just like John 4:10 says, if you only knew who you're speaking to, you would ask me. A prayerless Christian is like a bus driver trying to push his bus out of a rut because he doesn't know he's got Clark Kent on board that could help him. A prayerless Christian is like having a room wallpaper with Saks Fifth Avenue gift certificates, but always shopping at the local discount store because you can't read. Why should you talk to God? Because he has made himself available. And if you fully grasped the magnitude of the opportunity, you would seize every chance you have to talk with him. Another question. Why would God want you to talk about him in prayer? Think about that. I can think of two reasons, really. The first is found in James chapter 4, verse 2. And it says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Well, that's simple enough. And James chapter 5, the next chapter, verse 16 says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So the Christian's most powerful resource is communication with God. How? Through prayer. God is pleased to use our prayers to accomplish his purposes, to accomplish his delights in answering our very needs. Let's go to that second question referring to effective prayer, and that is, what should I talk to God about? While it is a given that we talk to God about ourselves, we're also to talk to God about him. Yes, we are. Our scripture reference today is called the model prayer, also known as the Lord's Prayer. The first half of the prayer, verses 9 and 10, is all about God. So when you pray, you should praise God for who he is, his attributes, his character. Acknowledge them. We should also thank God for what he's done. But it's also important to know that talking about yourself in prayer is not considered selfish. Some will say it is. It's not. Talking to God about yourself honors God by demonstrating your great need for him. The majority of all the prayers recorded in the Bible are what I would call help me prayers, as opposed to the help them prayers. God expects you to talk about yourself. And so do that. Question for you along that line. If God knows what you've done wrong, why do you need to tell him about it? I've heard that question asked many, many times. Well, first of all, if you go to Psalm 139, look at verses 23 and 24. The first thing that I would say in answer to that question is, God wants you to acknowledge your sins. Confess your sins, because confessing your sins opposes the attitude of self-righteousness. God wants you to know that he's there for you. He wants to know your personal needs. Ask God for help in all the major areas of your life, spiritual areas, emotional areas, relational areas, physical areas, vocational areas or your work areas, financial areas. The center verse of today's Lord's Prayer, verse 11, is the request for God to provide for our needs. And so we should talk to him about that. Lastly, let's address that third question regarding effective prayer, okay? And that is, how should I talk to God? Well, we've mentioned prayer is the vehicle that we do that. But let me ask you this. According to our scripture passage today, there are three aspects of talking to God that are identified there. Take a minute and find them. If you need to pause the video, that's totally great. Come back, because here's my answer. According to the scripture passage, the kind of prayer that reaches God and is greeted with a response is one that is private, sincere, and thoughtful. Let's look at those a little more closely. Look at verse 6 once again. It says, "But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door, and pray to your Father in private." This is not a condemnation of public prayer at all. Please don't think that. But private prayer enables believers to pour out their hearts to God, to really express their true feelings without having any distractions in the quietness of that prayer moment, in that room, what place where you pray, as we wait for God's answer. Next, look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get." This is a great example of how not to talk to God. Do not do this to try and impress people with. You may see people that are doing it, but that doesn't mean you have to. This is a classic example of selfish prayer. Our prayers should always be sincere. Always be concerned only with what God thinks and no one else. And lastly, the third aspect of how we should talk to God is to be thoughtful. Verse 7 reads, "When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again." The words are generated from the heart, and they're not merely a recitation or a repetition of someone else's words. Genuine, sincere, thoughtful prayer comes from the heart. It develops the trust that says, "Father, you know best." And so there's a thoughtfulness behind the prayer as well. Here's a question. Through what two episodes in the Gospel of Mark do we see the need to balance boldness and humility when we approach God? I'll give you another hint. You might want to take a look at Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30, and Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Take a minute, pause the video, and go read those scriptures, and then come back. Now, in those particular scriptures, we see additional attitudes necessary in approaching God. They are boldness, and it's tempered by humility. Both passages reveal a remarkable boldness and perseverance on the part of the seeker. There is no arrogance. There's just a humble spirit. In fact, they are simultaneously bold and humble for the same reason. They recognize who Jesus is. They are bold because they recognize the power of Jesus to heal. They are humble because they recognize his authority and the uniqueness of his power, knowledge, and presence as God. So as we approach God, we should do so confidently, because we've been invited to do so, and because we recognize God's power to meet our need. And at the same time, in our confident approach, we're not presumptuous, but humble in our estimation of ourselves compared to the majesty and holiness of God. When your life collides with the life of Christ, we realize the perspective is a little bit different, and we're not all that, but he certainly is. So to recap our journey so far today, we've been studying about talking to God, and we've said that we do that through prayer. We've studied an excellent scripture passage that really sets the standard for the model of prayer, often known as the Lord's Prayer, which is how we talk to God. We also talked about what makes an effective prayer and answered the questions, why should I talk to God? What should I talk to God about? And how do I talk to God? So to bring this study for today to a close, I want to share with you three things that you can do to help you on your journey. And the first is this: establish a consistent intimacy with God by spending time worshiping Him daily. The key word here is consistent. You ever felt difficulty buying a present for someone because it seemed like the person already has everything? If you think that's tough, what do you do to give the God of the universe, who owns everything, something? What do you think? How do you do that? This is what the answer is. You give Him worship. Establish a consistent intimacy with God by spending time worshiping Him daily. Our worship is the one thing we can give God that He cannot give Himself. Couples in love readily express their affection and adoration to one another, don't they? Generally, they do. Well, as lovers of God, we should be doing the same thing, and we should cultivate a vocabulary of adoration to God. So what can you do? I would suggest a couple of things. Read a book such as K. Arthur's Lord, I Want to Know You, and do a personal study on the names of God from the Old Testament. Or read a book about the attributes of God, such as Bill Bright's God, Discover His Character. To praise God for who He is, we've got to become knowledgeable about who He is. So exploring the names of God and the attributes of God is a great way to enrich your understanding of God and thus discover the intimate experience of talking with Him. That's the first way. The second tip that I have for you is to manage stress and worry with prayer. As I was preparing this study the other day, I did this, actually right in the middle of it. I'll take you to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul prescribes a divine stress management technique. He writes, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Folks, peace is a byproduct of a genuine conversation with God. And so after I read that scripture, I just stopped and I prayed, because I had about six things on my mind at least that were bringing me some stress, and I was doing that on myself, and I was worried about a few things. So I just stopped. I said, "Lord, I need to do this." So I just went to that prayer and I just let it all go to God. And I did have that sense of peace, because it's a byproduct of having a real conversation with God. Someone else cannot pray for you to have the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. According to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, you must be the one praying to experience prayer's calming effects. And finally, develop a prayer list to use when you're praying for others. Write things down. Do it on your laptop if you have a computer, or just the old-fashioned way with a pencil and paper. One of the most loving things you can do for the people that you care about is to unite God's name with your friend or family member's name in the same sentence. Make a list. Write down their name and their need. Is it a physical need? Is it an emotional need? Spiritual need? Relational or financial or vocational need? Is there some other kind of need? And how can God meet that need? Then keep adding to the list and update it as the Lord answers those requests. You will find that your list will grow and your time in prayer will grow, because the list is not what it used to be. It's a great technique. So the three opportunities that you have today are to establish a consistent intimacy with God by spending time worshiping Him daily, manage stress and worry with prayer, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and develop a prayer list to use when praying for others. Well, folks, that's our study for today in the first of our series here, and talking about developing our spiritual life. And we were talking about God. I hope you found it encouraging. I hope it's been insightful and a bit challenging for you as well. I hope you'll join me again same time next week. I'll be right here as we begin number two in our series called Listening to God. Until then, please take care. Stay safe. Mask up. Wash those hands. God bless you. See you again. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for another encouraging message from God's Word. To find out more about our ministry, look us up on the web at www.whccnb.org. Word of Hope Christian Church, real people, real God, real hope.